What is music? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What is music? This is something that many of us have questioned as we listen to music. We think, why is it so delightful? Why is it so raucous? Why is it so powerful? Why is it so gentle and simple? Why is it playing in such beautiful ways? Why is this music presenting itself in our life? Why is it happening? And we don't always have the answer, but we do come up with a very wonderful answer sometimes. Scientists have been doing research on the brain and how the brain reflects what's going on in the environment around it. Not only what goes on in the noise environment, but what goes on in the sight environment, what goes on in the emotional environment, what goes on in the feeling sensitivity environment of any kind of any nature, as well as what goes on in the music environment. And science has revealed that music does do things to the brain. It does stimulate the brain to respond in different ways. And how these ways are that the brain responds when the music touches it are rather definite, rather certain. And because of this, many, like super learning and the HoloSync programs, have become very successful and very prominent in the thinking system of humanity today. What is music? Well, music, as we all know, is the mathematics of the universe. It is that which gives balance, harmony, organization, a pattern to the universe. The universe is a mathematical formula, working in various beautiful, wonderful, fantastic ways. And music itself is mathematics. Music is the scaling of certain chords. Music is the scaling of certain notes, and these notes work in what's called a harmony or a disharmony. They work in tonal chords that are pleasing to the mind or not. Now, in different cultures, different musical tonalities are expressed in such a way that they're not harmonious with other cultures. The Western culture, for instance, here in the United States, listening to Japanese music or Asian music, find it very distracting, very disenchanting. But of course, with all things, as we listen to the Asian music more and more and more, as we are indoctrinated into it, to what it's attempting to do as a musical tonality, we find that it offers some very wonderful things. The wonderful thing that it does most of all is that it causes us to think differently. Whereas we're used to the Western mode of music and its harmonies, when we listen to the Asian mode and its harmonies, disharmony to us at first, our brain readjusts. And as we readjust, we take in new ways of looking at things. We take in new ways of considering what's going on in the musical world, what's going on in our brain. Because our brain is a computer. We'd like to give it more credence than a computer, but a computer is a rather marvelous thing. It does rather amazing things, and what it does today is nothing compared to what it will do as it is developed further and further. So, the brain too. The brain has always had the ability to know everything. In the days of the early scientists, they drew conclusions and they knew things for which they had no obvious information to know them. They had no way of knowing about the space. They had no way of knowing of how the Earth looked. They had no way of knowing how the different continents were formed and how they were gathered together or not gathered together. But as early as in the days of Columbus, and certainly far before that, Maps existed that showed the Earth in rather its form today, pretty much what we have today. How did they know that? Well, they did not have the clutter in their brain that we have today. They did not have the limitations in their thinking power that we had today. They went directly to the infinite mind, which knows all things. We can do that too. We have been trained through the way that we've been taught that we cannot do that. And because we've been trained that we cannot do that, we limit ourselves from reaching out to the unimaginable, reaching out to the information of the infinite that is now dwelling within us, but we will not believe it or pay attention to it. Music has been of a great benefit in helping us to listen to this. Why would a composer like Mozart, and of course many more than we really know, why would a composer like Mozart create the beautiful music he did on the first get-go? On the first note he wrote down, he did not change it. As they say, he had no eraser. And his music was outstanding. His music was remarkable. His music was very exceptional. And that music today is still very exceptional, even though hundreds of years ago it was written. But it is very exceptional. What does it do to the mind? It causes the mind to reach out into areas that it had not reached out into before. It caused the mind to synchronize itself, both left and right hemispheres, and so that our intuitive and our intellectual responses to life are more commingled, are more together, are more one rather than separate. Music does many wonderful things to the mind, not the mind, but to the brain. Music opens up the mind to be revealed through the brain, but really it opens up the brain so that the mind can be revealed through the brain, because the brain has these limitations about it that have been developed into the brain, and as they've been developed into the brain, we think that's our reality. We think that's the limitation that we experience is what we really are. Now, is that true? Are the limitations of what we experience or think about the truth about us? And of course, that is not true. We reach out to new levels of competence, of new levels of awareness, new levels of genius, and we wonder, how did we do that? And the wonder really is, why didn't we do that much sooner? We have the opportunity today of looking within our mind and looking within our brain, looking within our thinking system, and through the act of music, through the art of music, which has been an eternal art, bring forth that which is beneficial to us. The African natives dancing their war dances, the American Native Indians dancing their dances, natives all over the world dancing their dances, which seem gibberish to the Western mind, have a certain poeticness to them. That music lets them become the impossible, the improbable. It lets them think in the mind of illusion, in the mind of imagination, in the mind of introspection, and listening to that wonderful illustration of what mind can do. The illusion no longer is an illusion, but it becomes a reality as the dance goes on. The same is true today. We look at our rock music, we look at our hard rock, and we look at all these things, and we think, why are the young people trying to batter their brains with this information, with this music? And as we listen with an intelligence, we find that they're like the Native Americans, the Native peoples of the world, who go back to the most primitive music that possibly can be. And because it's so primitive and because it's so overwhelming, it beats its way right into the brain structure. And the brain allows it then to be free and realize the dreams and the possibilities that it can do. Why is it that people go on alcohol or drugs? And why is it they go on to the strange music? Why is it they go into strange attitudes and strange type of hypnosis and things that might be not beneficial to them? Well, who are we to say what is beneficial and what is not beneficial? When our mind is open, when we are revealed, when we are listening to the divine, magic things happen. When we get into that chanting music that we call the ohms and that we call the sophisticated type of thing that is a meditation, affirmation, inspiration, we call those things approvable. Well, on another level, these things are approvable too, but these things are approvable by the peoples who are doing them in their very simplicity. Rather than belittling other techniques, we can take the technique that we're learning now about the magic of music, commingling the right and left hemispheres of our mind into one source, into one pattern, into one purpose, into one direction, so that our intellectual and inspirational attitude can be united to bring forth all that the world has yet not even dreamed about. Not even imagined for itself, because it seemed too far away and too outlandish. But as we do this, as we bring together these hemispheres, we find that we are the harbingers of the future. We are the harbingers of the now. We are the ones who bring forth that which is already and reveal it first to ourselves and then to all the universe. Kind of exciting, isn't it? I love dwelling on these topics because they open the door to so many wonderful possibilities. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.